Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, CC Peniston, how you doing today?
Doing good.
Oh, that's how we go do it? That's what I'm saying. Bring that energy.
You already know, Craig.
Bring that energy. Yes. I want to thank you one more time for calling the Just Talking with Sam podcast. Oh man, I already see right now we're gonna have a good time.
Oh, you already know.
Right, I want to just be up front with you, Miss CC Penniston. I am a fan of
Okay.
yours, and I have been a fan for
Thank you.
quite some time. So,
Thank you.
what you are hearing right now is me putting on my professional, but I may jump into that fanboy element somewhere through that. Through this podcast, I want through this interview, I'm gonna turn into that super fanboy. I'm just keeping it 100.
That's what's up. It's all good. And you know, I appreciate the love anytime I get it. Anytime someone tells me they love the music, everything, that means I did, the job was done. So I appreciate it.
Right, and
And I appreciate you playing and supporting me. Like, how you doing? I'm like, fan, how are you playing? So look, why are you playing? See?
Okay, all right. I just want to be up front with you because, I mean, you've been here since for a while. You over 25 years in the music industry. Actually, this is if my math is right, last year was the 25th anniversary of your release of Finally.
Yep.
I gotta know, how can you give us a little backstory of how that song was even conceived? Because that's my jam.
Oh, thank you. You know what? I was in college at the time, and I already knew that I was going to be an artist. And I was like, I'm not trying to hear what these folks are talking about. I was in chemistry class writing poems because I was so bored. I was like, I do not care about Pi squared at this moment because I'm going to have the mic in front of me. So, not that I'm telling kids not to get an education, because I finished college, okay, so we're going to get that out the way. But at that time in my head, I was in a creative space. I was writing in you know, chemistry class, because I felt like people didn't understand where I was at, and I just wanted that little outlet. And so I started doing poetry, and that's how Finally came about.
And I gotta be honest, it's apropos that you say that because a lot of your music is, I guess, in the soundtrack of my formative years. I mean, like growing up, if you went to a cookout, a barbecue, fish fry, graduation, one of your songs coming on. And that's just how it worked. Honestly, if you really like Saturday morning when you got to clean up the house because you don't know who coming over, one of your songs also will come on in.
Thank you.
If you timed it right, you could tell what chore I was doing based on the song. Like, if I was washing dishes, I know this song came on. Or if I was, my mom always had me do the baseboards. Yeah, that's probably around the second time around, finally it would show up. And, I mean, that's awesome. But one thing, I mean, I don't want this to be a walk in memory lane, but one thing that I love about you yourself, you have been keeping yourself on the pulse for 25 years. Anybody could just make a song, but you've been keeping yourself relevant throughout different genres of music you've covered throughout your career. What is that, I guess, that drive that, like, you got to be a part of what's going on right now, part of the zeitgeist, you know?
I think I just love it. For me, I just really love music that much, and I understand just like what comes with it now. It's just such a different game than when I came out. It's like there's so many different moving parts to, you know, the music industry, you know, with like social media. You know, that wasn't out before. You had a publicist, and then, you know, just people getting to know you. Before it was like, hey, don't tell people about your private life, let them wonder, and it keeps them a secret. Now people, if you don't hit them back on, you know, social media, they're like, you didn't hit me back, or I DM'd you, or, you know, or they get to know you, and it's like the more they know you, the more they love you. They want to know. That's like reality shows, everything. So there's so many different things that if you want to be a part of the business now, it just comes with it. But my first love is just the creativity of music and getting on stage and singing and doing what I do. Once I do that, there's nothing greater.
Okay, and I'm glad you brought that up because, like, when you talk about the world of social media and like the mystique of the early 90s, I guess, well, just anything before social media, it's a weird world that we live in, because is there such thing as too much information now? You know, it's a balance, right?
I think that's kind of up to you, kind of what you want to share. I mean, there's some people that do overshare, and you're like, really? You just had to put that out there, though? Mm-hmm. Okay, you're doing way too much. But we get the benefit of it because we get a good laugh sometime off the stuff that they do. You're sitting there like, for real, though?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then the other thing is, you know what I'm saying? Like, damn.
Oh, trust
you
me, know? I know.
And then the other thing, I know, I scroll through it like sometime and just don't put likes so people don't know I'm on there, but I'm watching and I'm looking like, oh, this is funny.
No, I put likes. I want you to know. I want you to know I saw you doing something stupid. I put likes. I do.
No, I put likes. I put likes, but if I'm on there real late at night, sometimes I'll just go back and I'll be like, okay, I liked all this stuff. I'll go back to it and I'll do it in the morning because I know that people love and support me. But sometimes it's like, if you get on, Instagram has this thing now where if you're on there, people will know you're on there. And it's like, sometimes you want to just like, just chill out and scroll and like come back to it instead of someone like, hey, what you doing? You're like,
oh, okay, I see.
I was in the bed kicking it. Yeah, y'all was in the bed kicking it. They're getting notifications. Like that you're on there, so yeah, so it's just that kind of thing. I mean, it's up to you what you want to share and what information you want people to have about you, because hey, you know, some people don't care. Like these reality show you, a lot of people are like, this is me, this is what it is, and you either like it or don't.
And one thing about like, just kind of backtrack on the music thing, you're not afraid to jump genres. Like, I mean, obviously we know the hits, but like hearing like your new stuff like Hide or Nothing Can Stop Me, Sick, and not to mention, just toss out a title, you are Miss Queen of House. You know, you jump genres.
Thank you.
Like, I know, like, what's interesting about house and EDM and dance, yeah, you've always been like a cousin of that world, but you've seemed to like immerse yourself in that now. Like, now you're like a cornerstone of that. How did you just make the jump to more EDM type?
Well, you know what? I'm just one of the people, like, I feel if I can carry a song, then I just do it. If it seems far-fetched, that's one thing where it's like, I don't know if she could do that. But if it sounds like, hey, vocally, I can carry it, and like, if what I do is I stand back and listen to a song and say, if you didn't know that was you, would you like it? I'm really
like
hard
that.
On like
I
my
like
vocals
that.
And stuff. Like, I don't just pick a song and like, but they don't like it because it was me. I'm like, no, I'll let my friends hear it and I'll tell me what you think, and be honest. I'm like, if you don't like it, tell me you don't like it. Because you can't be so, as a creative spirit, you can't be so close to a song that you get offended. Like, how y'all not going to like my song? I just say, okay, cool. Let's keep going. Tell me the songs you do like and the songs you don't. And they'll tell me.
Now, it was interesting.
And that's what we do.
And that's cool. What's interesting about that is because, and I hope I'm not going too inside baseball here, but a few weeks ago, you were here in Detroit and with the Black Women Rock. And we are in this room, and we get a chance to see you ladies do your thing. And it was a little bit of everything, a lot of soul, but it was just like, I guess, a display of different generations of musical talent. And you got that instant response, you know? So
thank you.
I see what you're talking about. You got that instant response, and not to mention, like, of your work, but Detroit is electronic music capital. So you come, like, when you walked in here, there was already an eye on you a little bit, like, all right, nah. I mean, like that.
What you about to do?
Yeah. Yeah. How do you? Does that something that bothers you, or is that something you are? Better question. Are you aware of that, and does that change how you approach the situation?
I'm definitely aware of it because I know they don't expect me, for one, especially with the first song, that one wish. I know they didn't expect that from me. Because it's just what I said in the song was just like so real. It's like some women that probably have been in that situation would have probably thought it just as I said it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the texture of how the songs are with Black Women Rock. My energy, how is that going to be? Was I going to be sweet? Was I going to be sweet when I'm doing rock? Or is my voice going to be like, can't stand it when you're away?
Right.
Was I going to be, I wish you never had seen a wish? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, oh, You know, it's that, and actually, you know who helped me with that was Paris Toon, Mother's Favorite Child. And he did a song, and he's like, I want you to, you know, try your song. I said, let's do it. Like, I'm open. I said, I think the thing is when you can keep making people love you over and over again after they already felt like they knew you, I think that's what keeps things interesting for you as an artist. I feel like when people just keep hearing the same thing, they're like, oh, we heard her do that before. But when I come in and I've got a different attitude and I'm coming with, like, a roughness in my voice, I'm like, hey, I've lived life a little bit. I've been through some things. Then they believe me, I think that's what makes people keep falling in love with you.
And that's what's awesome about this, because especially that night, but even in your work now, I mean, we talked about like how technology has evolved with social media and stuff like that, but there are a lot of tricks that people can do, whether that be auto-tune, whether that be studio, but you've been a part of both forms. Like, you've lent yourself, you've lent your talents to it, whether that be EDM, that is pretty much is all technique, or how you put it that way, or if it goes straight up and down R&B, no tricks required, just you got it or you don't. Like, when you are a part of those forms, I guess, do you kind of look at someone else, not judgingly, but it's sort of like when you listen to other people, it's just like, can that person do it for real? Or do they
need
something?
You know what? I think that's anybody. You're interested in seeing what's going on. I had to close the door on my dog. I'm sorry. She is
hey, it happens.
Yeah, outside. Doing too much, okay? One thing. So I think that's anybody. You're like, hey, what are they going to do? Like, okay, I hear, like, I may hear a song that, or an intro to something. I go, oh, okay, hey, I wasn't expecting that. And then you go, okay, where are they about to go with the song? It's just more of an interest. I think within you just being like a person that listens to music, it's like, where are they about to go with this? And if they go a place that you weren't expecting them to go, but you love it, it's like, oh, damn, okay, I wasn't expecting that riff, that ad-lib, that texture in her voice, that, okay, she went way up here where her registers usually low. You know what I'm saying? So it's a mm-hmm. lot of different things that go with it, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, why should I expect anybody to do anything less with me?
Makes sense.
Like, real talk.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because it's almost like you're looking at my paper. That is my next question. Now that we already in that current state of music, is it any artists or producers right now that you like, yeah, I would like to work with that person?
You know what? It would be an interesting thing for me to do, like, since, and she does a lot of R&B music, people probably don't think this is weird, but Tweet. I love Tweet. Like, I would love to do something with her. Like, me and her did something like acoustic with her guitar, or just did some R&B. I would love that, because I love her melody lines. Also, like, Music Soul Child, I feel like he is the, like, when he does his dance songs, that's the kind of R&B dance. I like his dance stuff. I've also been wanting to work with, like, Zed. And now that's a whole other area.
Mm-hmm.
Working with Zed, he does EDM.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So there's like, a lot of different, David Guetta. I love to work with David Guetta. His melody lines, what he did with Kelly Rowland, I feel like he could do something great with me on that. So it's like there's different places across the board that I feel like I could go.
All
you
right.
know, R&B, and then there's, you know, there's the dance stuff.
Well,
and then on Deep House, if I had to say, on House, I heard a song from Crystal Waters recently, I Am House,
mm-hmm.
and it was great. And the producers that did that, I would love for them to do something for me, so... That would be great.
All right. I'm going to shift gears just a little bit, because we go on the radio to more TV, and quite honestly, you are one of the few people who have had, I've talked to, who've had like a bio done with the Unsung. I got a few questions about that. For starters, what was your feedback overall on the Unsung, and can you watch it?
You know what? My feedback on Unsung was like, we really enjoyed your Unsung. I didn't know that you went through all those things because you kept everything so private. Sometimes people have told me that I carry myself like I haven't been through a lot. And they say, you don't wear your pain the way that you would think that you've gone through it. They said, but the funny thing is, you're so real. Gigi, that's enough. Gigi, they're like, you're so real that... It's funny, we asked you, you tell us, like, you kept it 100, like, and I felt like I was going through that with you. And then people were like, they were sorry that I went through that. They were real, like, understanding, you know, the stuff with, you know, the ups and downs with the weight stuff. I'm not the only woman that's been through that. You know, the record companies and the way that TV and stuff is today, you know, just even then, it's just people are, they want to see us, you know, with Instagram models and everything. It's not just about being an entertainer. You got people that aren't even doing entertainment looking so fly that you better keep up.
But that's true. You're right. But and when you talk about those people, who's I am one of those people, because I watched it. That was my second part of the question. I'm watching this like, can she watch this? Because when you watch that Unsung, if I tread on some topics, and I get it.
No, you can ask me whatever.
Okay. Yeah, but a lot of that.
Do your thing.
I mean, like, I would only assume if you lived it will give you a visceral emotional response. And I'm just a regular dude, so for the person who lived it, that's why I asked that question. Can you watch it?
When I first watched it, it made me really emotional. And I was like,
understandably,
man,
like, so.
When I looked at it, you know, the everything with the babies and the marriages and the just, you know, it's like you sacrifice a lot being in this business, and you don't even realize you're going through the things you're going through. Like, because I got to see a lot of the comments after. Mm. Like, you know, you see it, you go do your part, and people comment on what you do, and it's like, oh, I didn't know they felt like that. Just like the stuff about the depression, all that stuff was real. Like, people didn't know probably that I was going through that because I had to emerge and be the artist. It wasn't my job to be on stage being depressed. It was my job to create and give you back the memories of what I gave to you in the first place.
Right.
So it's my job to make your bad day a great day or a beautiful day. And so it's like you almost had to, I had to come out of myself to do my thing. But then when sometime I would come home, it was like those things would creep up in my head sometime, because it was like, dang, they don't even know. I just lost a child and I'm on the road right now. Like, it was that kind of thing where I'm going through stuff in my marriage, which I'm not the only one that ever had been through that. But when you have to deliver and be an artist and be on, it's sometimes challenging some days.
Maybe I'm asking this question a little prematurely, and if there is no wrong answer after all of that,
yeah.
I guess when we saw what you went through, and we just fans, like I said to start this podcast, we just fans who just loving your music and love what you bring to the stage. To some degree, what was it worth the cost? I mean, because you paid a hefty price, and that was just only an hour. So I only imagine just going through the years, was it worth the cost that I guess you get the feeling and the support from people like little fanboys like myself, like going through all of that? I mean,
well, you know what? I don't know if there's anything that I could have done like really differently in some instances, because I feel like my real thought is you make the best decisions that you can make at the time that you make them, because you're always learning. You're always on the journey. So you may, you know what? You do something immature. You're like, dang, I shouldn't have did that. But you don't know that till later.
Right.
Or I shouldn't have carried that like that. Or, dang, I wish I had did, like, you can play catch up, but you can't take time back. And I feel like I did the best that I could do on some things, and if I didn't, it's because I didn't have the knowledge, or if I did have the knowledge, I didn't realize I was doing it wrong at that time. You know what I'm saying? I thought, like, hey, this would be a good way to go. They're going this way. Let me go this way. And sometimes it's like, no, this is the right way to go.
Right, right.
So it was me being sometimes a little stubborn sometimes, because I could be a little bit like that sometimes.
Okay.
But I've gotten better as... When I first got in the business, I wasn't like that. Probably, you get in this business probably 6 years in, 7 years in. You're doing interviews from 9 to 5. Then you're reporting to the venue to go do sound check. Then you're doing the sound check, and you start to feel like a robot, because it's like I'm just going from one place to another. And that's when you have to find that happy medium, saying, okay, well, I know I was made to do this, and that's why I wouldn't take it back ever, because I know that I was made to be the gift to the world.
I mean,
I know that's what God put me.
That's understandable.
Like, so let me ask you this: when you say was it worth it, what stands out in your mind? Because the baby stuff, of course, I can't change.
I know.
That.
When I say is it worth the cost, because, like, to some degree, when you say you almost went in, like, robot mode, going to stuff, and. I mean, one of the things we got to learn how to do, I guess, is take care of ourselves. And sometimes that may come off as a little bit diva-ish or selfish. But when you sit back and you watching that, and I'm watching it, And I'm like, my God, she giving so much. The baby stuff, I understand that. And when you seeing like the stuff with your husband and the stuff, just the stress of, I guess, having to replicate success, for just to put it loosely. And when you can't, you were put in a situation where you couldn't take a breather for yourself. So when you look at that, I guess what I'm saying, the cost of, because now you persevere, you went through it, but how you just said you would have did stuff differently, that's why I asked that question, is it worth the cost? Because obviously hindsight being 2020, yeah, you probably would have did stuff differently, but you made those decisions. So I guess, did you feel it was worth it overall?
You know what? You know what? It still is. It still is. Even through the bad, the bad, through the good, through the everything. And I, because I feel like, you know, we started when we were younger. So you think you know everything, and you think like you know what relationships are, and you think you know what love is. And sometimes when you get out those relationships, you really do realize, dang, that was the love right there, though. You do realize that. But then at the same time, it's like, even if I had done everything right, sometimes with, you know, with what we do, I wouldn't be satisfied in my heart not singing and doing music. I just really wouldn't. And so someone has to really understand, like, what I do, and I have to understand that, you know what, just because I understand and I love it doesn't mean that they're always going to. They may love Cecilia, but they may not love what CeCe Peniston does all the time, and that's the part that comes with what we do.
I understand.
So you have to understand that.
And I guess my follow-up, because since you got a chance to live it, and I guess in many ways live it again, what was the greatest lesson, I guess, that you learned from that?
Follow your gut.
Okay. Yeah, that, I got that.
Can I say that? Yeah, follow your gut, because sometimes you can get so many different opinions from people instead of just saying, you know what, no, this is what I'm going to do. I've gone through phases where it's like, you know what, I was starting a business, I didn't know any better, so I listened to other people, and then you get in the business, and you start doing your own thing, and then you're too stubborn because of the experiences you had, and then you have the experience where it's like, you're in the happy medium now, and you kind of can see forward. You have foresight because you've gone through the good and the bad, and you know how to say, hey, I've been here before. I know how I'm going to handle this going forward. So it's just follow your mind. And even if it's still not right, even if you're still not doing it right, just try to do it like tomorrow's a new day. You can't be so hard on yourself and hold on to things so hard that you know, that you can't move forward and grow. You got to be able to grow. Hey.
And speaking of growth, yeah, it's cool. And speaking of growth, one of the things that I learned by watching another show you was on, Celebrity Wife Swap, I gotta say this, that was fun, but when you said persevering going through something, girl, you almost killed Kelly Williams. That's Laura Winslow if you're keeping score at home. Just no one.
What are you talking about?
No, she couldn't do what you did. Just like living your life, your workout schedule, you almost killed that girl. Like, she was not
having it. Do you know how it killed me? Do you know how it killed me? Let me tell you, for that fitness competition that I did, and the pictures are on Instagram, it took me 6 months to get there. It's 6 months of straight working out. I mean, coming off the plane, and the trainer was like, you have 8 miles to do.
She would, okay, you did great, because you whipped her family into shape, sort of, because it was a lot of team pulling on your side. You had to, like wheel him out of it, but Laura quit. Laura was like, oh, okay, word, yeah, I'm not about that life.
Man, when I saw that back and forth, when she got an attitude about that food.
Yes!
I was weak. I was like, she got her little lean cuisine looking. Everybody else had steak and shrimp and stuff. I said, boy, I said, she ain't having it right now.
She was not ready for that. And I mean, like, and that was cool that we got a chance to see it, because that opened up, like I said, you jump lanes all the time. Like, that's how a lot of us, myself included, learned that you were, like, in fitness competitions and, like, you around the world just showing it off. Just showing off your body, showing up, just training, just crushing the competition, literally and figuratively. And
thank you.
Like,
thank you.
How does that, like, and you travel the world doing this. I got to know, when you travel the world, what do people know first of CeCe Peniston? Do they know the fitness stuff? Do they know the music? Where do they point at you? Because here in the States, we do have that "What have you done for me lately" vibe. That's just how we.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how we are. But when you cross seas, who do they know? Who do they know? The TV star, the person who almost killed Laura, the fitness star, or the music?
I think, you know what people tell me, they're like, when they see me, they're like pleasantly surprised. They're like, you still look the same. They're like, how are you still looking the same from a long time ago? And then they see that I'm a comedian. Like, they're like, and you're funny. Because me and my friends are always clowning all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, for real. Like, we make fun out of stuff. If you were around us, then you would understand. There's like a little group of us that are always hanging out together.
Okay.
And then they're like, okay, let me hear what the music is. And they're like, oh, you still keeping your show fresh, and you know, you look great. Like, they like my, you know, the fashion stuff that I've been doing, you know. So I think people get it in doses. Like, they get to see you in front of them, and then you open your mouth, and it's like, oh, I like you too. I like you as a person. So it's like all those little things that they come together.
Now, one of
but then they, you know, before the show, they'll be like, I wonder if she still sounds the same. You know what I mean? So they'll wait for you to do the show and be like, oh, okay. Wait till they get on the mic and see how they perform. You know they're hard on us 90s artists, babe. You know,
well, yes! Yes!
They'd be like, mm. You know, I've heard it. And I said, it's funny because I went somewhere and she was like, this girl was like, hey, you look really good. I was like, did you expect me to look effed up? I mean, I'm just saying. I ain't even seen anything. I said, do y'all think that about 90s artists? She said, yeah, we sure do.
Yes, we do. I mean, like, I'm sorry, but you know the ironic thing about why, and I'm only making a generality of just people, and the reason mm-hmm. why we go so hard on 90s artists, ironically enough, because the show's like Unsung. Ironically, okay. We see it, we like, oh, we didn't know you had all of that. So, yeah, we're a little hard because you got people coming out to a show is like, all right, what version are we getting? There is.
And I get it. You know you're cracking me up, right? What version are we getting?
Yeah, there is a worry. Like, at Black Girls Rock, I kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier. Like, there was, mm-hmm. that first song was like, all right now. The last time we saw you, you was on BET Her. So, like, there is a differential, and obviously you delivered, and we all had that sigh of relief after the first song, but there is a vibe, that undercurrent is there. If you don't mind, your next show, just kind of look around the audience before, you know, peek out the curtain before you come out. Because
I was around. Just so you know, I was around, and right before the young lady came on before me, she put it down.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, shit, goddamn, get off your ass and jam.
Yep.
She was jamming. And so I was like, okay, well, she just turned it out. You know, and did the damn thing. So I was back there. I was in the background as people were doing their stuff. So I already knew. From it being live band, which is, first of all, already, like, people are used to hearing, you know, me with tracks. They're not used to hearing me with live band a lot. So that was already like, okay, what's this going to look like?
Right.
Okay. And then what's she going to look like personally? Like, what's she going to wear? What's going to be her vibe? Okay, and then now how's she going to, what's she coming out with?
That's all correct.
Black woman rock.
That's all correct.
Black woman rock. What's about CeCe about to do that sounds like rock? We ain't never heard her do it. So
everything you're saying is correct. Because
I know.
We were one of those people, and I was with my wife, And we were sitting down, you know, we had a couple of dope beverages, we doing our thing, and then, you know, they announced your name, and then we didn't talk, but we both looked at each other.
You did the black people look around like something in the wrong hand.
We all did.
Somebody comes in the outfit.
A lot of black guy checking. We all looked around the room like, all right now. Here it is. I mean, like, that was a real feeling. Now,
it's okay. I like to know that, because when you come out and you know the feeling, it's like we have an unspoken language. Somebody can come in some stuff and we can just look at each other like, and you already, that means like, you know that's off, right?
Yeah, we're not rude about it. We're not right. Going to be rude about it. We do something way worse. We do something. That's right. We do something way worse instead of being rude about it. We don't say nothing at all. That's worse.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather you tell me how horrible I am. I'm no good. At least I got something to work on. But when you don't say nothing, that car ride home is woo. I'm thinking about it.
If they come in and be like, oh, it was good to see you. Well, you have a good night.
Yes.
I mean, not like the show. You be like, oh, then you already know. It's like, oh, maybe, okay. And everybody's had a bad show. Trust me.
Oh.
I've had a few in my time. I try to keep it to a minimum, but it could have just been the mic was off. It could have been the sound was off. It could have been my spirit was off. Or I was hoarse that day, but I can't tell y'all and give disclosure already that I'm hoarse. You know, so it just depends on what's going on, but that was one of them shows I had been preparing for it for a minute, and then I had more in me, but my time was up. So I just had to just roll. It was like my time was up. So, And then, look, and after all of those variables, you know what's crazier than that? I'm in the music capital, one of the music capitals of the world, with live music, Motown, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you already know. So that was the other, you know, everybody knows real music. So Detroit ain't no punk when it comes to doing shows.
No, we're not.
Mm-mm. We like you or not.
That's really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing I want to touch on, mainly because you can't sit down. We talked about everything else. Please tell us a little bit about your fashion line.
Oh, man. You know, hold on.
Go ahead. Dog's
crawling around on me.
Like I said, we gonna jump around.
No, it's all good. You know what? I haven't done anything with the fashion line in a minute because I've been creating more on getting the business side together. I started a team last year, so I still have the line. Like if someone said, "Cece, can you come do a fashion show?" I'd be like, "Yep, sure can." Because when we come in, me and my girls had the wraps, we had bathing suits, we brought shoes, we brought hair, we brought jewelry, we brought everything. Like, even though someone was contracted to do something, we still bring extra because I've learned, just being an entertainer, I'm not trying to do your job. But if you don't have something and I have it, then that helps keep things on a smooth note. You know what I mean? So when I tell you, it's like, if someone was like, hey, come do a show, we can come do a show, but we don't profit.
That makes sense.
But we're still, it's put like this. It's not out of the loop. It's just on hold for a minute because it was also one of the things where I had like the samples and doing the fashion show, but you have to have a certain amount of sample stuff ready to go. And some of our stuff was unique. So I've had people still order like unique looking bathing suits for me because that was the name of it. So unique. So they had stuff. I'm like, give me your size and we'll get you, you know, hooked up. It's no problem. Cause we did small girls. We did the big girls. We did the big girls, like whatever. It didn't matter. We just need your sizes so we can do it to you, to your body style, your body type.
Okay.
Sit down, Gigi.
Now, one thing about this, about all of it, girl, you're moving so much. I gotta know, how do you unwind? Do you watch TV, or did you just give up on sleep as a whole? Do you just gave it up, or do you? I mean, what do you do to chill? Because you are
I
no chill.
Poetry at night.
You have no chill. No, you're doing something every day.
You know what? I promise you. It's like I do my business. Like I get up early in the morning. I do my business. And I do work every single day on different stuff because it requires that with what I do. I mean, it's grind. And it ain't no punk. I mean, it's real. Go out the way. And so we'll go look. I'll get together with the fam and we'll have a get together. Like last time I was home, we had to get a get together just because. And then there was another time we had something for, I think it was Easter. We all ate and we play games and chill out and go to the movies together, like the fam. I'll be like, hey, what we doing next Saturday? We all going to the movies and go hang out. And a group of us will go. I'll go out with my girls, we'll have drinks. Like, I'll make sure I have time for like regular life. There was a time when last year I couldn't do that. They would call me, and I knew they were agitated with me because they were like, come on out. And I was like, I just can't. I got too much work to do. I got to leave town. I'm in. I come in one day. I'm packing the next day, and I'm out the next day. Or I had maybe one more day. So, but I tell you, I get my rest in. I get it in now.
Okay.
I get some sleep now. If I get a good, like, 5-6 hours, I'm good.
Okay. Now, will you chill? I notice every event. Nah, this is just...
Oh, and this, too.
Okay, go ahead.
I like to cook, and so I like to cook, like, that's kind of like eases my mind when I cook.
See, I noticed that. That was my next question. Every event you named has something to do with food. And all of it. See, that's my dollar store detective right there. You see it, that's pretty much the extent of it. But, like, every event, so do you have a favorite? I know you training, you in fitness competitions, but everybody got a weakness food. I'm curious, what is it? What is the dish where we cannot have around CC because we had messed up 6 months worth of work?
Pizza.
Really? something that simple.
Pizza and soul food. Like, I love soul food. Macaroni and cheese, collard greens, you know, fried chicken or fish.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we would wreck you.
That's a wrap. Some cornbread? Oh, yeah.
One of them barbecues, fish fries, we would wreck you. Like,
look, and I can cook too. I can cook soul food too. So sometimes I just don't even bring stuff in the house sometimes because I'm like, you're going to eat it if you have it.
So that level of discipline does, other than bringing it in the house, you just kind of answer my question, but like, do you just not just bother with it at all? Or is it like, okay, you know, the day after the competition, we just going ham. Like the
You already know.
Literally and figuratively.
The first thing I got the day after the competition, I had to eat salads and all that stuff. I had pizza and I had alcohol, everything. Because I was like, I'm so over this. I need to ease my mind. I did the work and now here we are. Let's celebrate.
Oh, that's awesome. And speaking of celebrating,
yeah,
we have to celebrate such a great career that you had. You ain't done by a long shot. And we're going to play some of the new music here. But before I let you go, I got to ask, you are a fountain of knowledge. I've learned a lot in this interview. I've learned it watching your career, watching TV. Do you have a message to people who up and coming, artists, fashion designers, fitness models, TV personality? You know what? You got a lot of jobs. Now I'm reading it. Do you have any messages? Like, when you look at it on paper, it's a lot. It's a lot of jobs.
It's right. Look, it's a lot that I'm telling you on a regular basis. It really is sometimes.
But any message, just trying to do for people who watch you and trying to do what you do. That's the quickest way I can say that.
Stay on your grind and don't let anybody take you off your focus, because sometimes people are quick to say, well, I wouldn't do that if that was me. And if your response is, well, that's you, and that's why you're you and I'm me. Be willing to know that you're going to get some criticisms and some opinions, and you don't always have to like it. I tell people, just because you told me that don't mean I have to like it. Okay, I respect that you told me, but I don't have to like it, and I have to work through that feeling, because if you tell me that something is a certain way. So you don't always have to like it, but you do have to respect and always be willing to grow and be open to new experiences. Like I do vision boards. That's like huge for me, like every year, like on New Year's, and a lot of them have come true. Like last year I put Bali on my vision board, and this year I went to Bali and I rode an elephant. That was like 3 weeks ago. I rode on an elephant. I always wanted to ride one.
That's cool.
I went to an elephant park and rode. It was amazing. It was on my Instagram. And I was like acting like a little punk before I got there. I was like, it came true. And I was in the car crying. My friend was like, you over there crying? I was like, yeah. I said, because it means a lot to me. I said, it showed me that my vision was real, that my vision was true. And I know it's something small. Like, people probably think that it probably takes like all the big things that's impressing me all the time, and it's not. It's, for me, it's like the things that people wouldn't think. Like I said, things on a vision board where you look and say, I've always wanted to do this on my bucket list, and I get to do that. It's a deep spiritual feeling. So stay on your focus. You know what your gifts are, and don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid to be in a box. You know, be afraid to be outside the box, I mean. And just, you know, keep God first, when you're not doing it right.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Obviously, girl, I could talk to you all day, but this is only an hour show. Oh, you coming back.
Thank you.
I want to make that plain.
Oh, no, I would love to.
You coming back.
I would love to.
And
please let people know, too. I want to tell them this before I get off.
Go ahead.
The version of Hot that you have right now, that's like a separate version, kind of like, you know, a couple of people from Chicago hit me up like, yeah, okay, I like that. So I'm just letting you know we have that. But as far as the, I have like four other mixes, an R&B mix, an EDM mix, I have a house mix, and then I have a dance, like a fast dance mix, too. So we used to get all the people that love the mixes from CeCe, and I'm going to start putting a few more of them online, and excuse me, a few more of them on my social media.
And
but
please,
I'm
make sure
to,
you
like,
say
not,
social media stuff. Oh, go. Sorry, I cut you off. All social media, everything. Yeah. Go ahead. Put it out there.
Oh, yeah. We're going to put it on my Twitter. Oh, my Twitter is CeCe_Peniston. And then I have the official CeCe Peniston Facebook fan page, and I have Instagram, which is CeCe Peniston. I have CeCePeniston.com. I have booking at CeCe Peniston, management at CeCe Peniston. If anyone's out there looking to book or do whatever, you know, or do shows and stuff. So please, you know, make sure you follow on all those, you know, handles.
Okay. Okay. But CeCe, this has been just awesome. There's the you not seeing my face right now. Like I said at the start, is I'm fanning out. And after this podcast, I will run around the block yelling. People will think I'm crazy, but I feel good, man. You talk about a bucket list. You talk about, like, spirit. But when, like, you get a chance to just talk to somebody that you have admired and you've watched and you – and I got to be honest. You know what? Let's just keep it all 100. I watched Unsung, and a couple of tears squirted out. I didn't have my allergy medication that day. Yeah, yeah, that's the story I'm going with.
Yeah, that makes me smile.
I got a little clipped.
Yeah, I know people don't have to like anything. You know what I'm saying? So the fact that they're doing it, like, you know what? I'm feeling that. And it's like, you know what? That has been the blessing. That has been the response from people. Like, I wasn't expecting that totally. But there's like, you did some R&B. It sounds good. Your vocals sound nice. So when I keep hearing it, it just makes me smile. And if you can pass it on to anybody, you know, that wants a song or needs to hear it, please let me know. You know, we'll make sure they get the single and stuff. So
I'll do the best I can, and I will direct everyone to all of your handles, all your social media handles. CeCe Peniston, it has been a pleasure, and thank you. Please call back again. Do not be a stranger to this podcast. Thank you so much.
And thank you so much. Have a beautiful day.
You too. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.